Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch Our Crappins, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me on this very, very super special episode, it's Ronnie Karam. What's up, Ronnie? Oh my God, Ronnie, I love this new look for you. Oh, there you are.
I didn't mean to put this picture up so soon. I was just keeping this crazy ass Mary Cosby looking insane picture to show you later.
We're doing Crappins on Demand. This is we're talking Real Housewives of Salt Lake City premiere, and we have to do an on demand for it. So here we are. You can see us. You can see our beautiful faces, and even Mary Cosby, because it's too much. This is a supersized, huge premiere. It's the one that everyone's been waiting for and talking about. The first 2 minutes were released to the internet last week, and everyone was just going nuts about it. And we kept it on the inside. We're like, we're gonna wait for the big premiere, and here we are. But before we dive into it, in case you missed the news, we have partnered with Spotify and Spotify's new app, Green Room, which is live voice chat. Okay. And what's gonna happen is every Monday we are going to be doing a little show on it called Take a Seat. And we're going to be talking mainly pop culture with a Bravo slant, as usual, as per our thing. And it's going to be every single week on Monday nights. And basically, Ronnie and I are going to be talking about some headlines, some topics, some things that are on our mind. But as per the format, you guys are going to be able to chime in as well. So it's going to be a super interactive, super fun thing. If you have a Spotify account already, and probably most of you do, then you're in luck. All you have to do is download the Green Room app and then just log in with your account. It's Spotify world. So like, you'll just be able to do it and join us. It's going to be so fun. In our very first episode, depending on when you're listening to this, is either going to be tomorrow, tonight, or was yesterday. But
well, who knows? Maybe you're listening to this 20 years from now, and this whole thing was done. So it's
hello,
over.
Aliens. Right. Hello, aliens. How are you? Hello, people of the future. I'm sorry that you have to base your ideas of humanity on this recording. I'm
no
so
kidding.
Sorry.
Maybe in your time, this is like the covered wagons and shit that Joseph Smith and Heather's family came to Utah in their time, you know, we're learning about them now. Maybe you'll be learning at us in the future. You know, I mean, isn't it crazy?
God, I would love how skewed the history books would be if they based so much on our podcast. They'd be so confused. Humans in the 21st century were very obsessed with Botox and money and vaginal rejuvenation. Strange cultural phenomenon.
Yes. Well, listen, if you want to be in charge of history, write it. Okay, that's some advice to all of
empowering.
Us. Let's just write our own history, okay? That's why we have an Instagram.
Or that's why you become a Real Housewife. You can write your own history with perhaps your own fraudulent checks. So, Ronnie, what did you think? Just like a quick hot take, what did you think about this premiere coming back?
Amazing.
To Salt
Lake City? I mean, listen, Amazing. It's been a rough year. It's been a rough year for Housewives shows and every show, I'm sure, on TV, but we only watch Bravo, so this is all I know. It's been a rough year, guys. Okay. There's been a lot of Housewives who have struggled with COVID and everything else. Salt Lake City came out running. I mean, they did great their first season, but then we had Orange County. Lame season. Then we had New York, not the best. But Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is doing a great job, I think, as well. But we need some lift us. We need some fun criminality. You know, the Erica thing is like, did she do this to the orphans? Did she do this? No, Jen Shaw did this, and she did it to your meemaw. Okay, so that makes it more fun. It makes the pitchforks. It's like, yes, now I can actually jab someone with a pitchfork. Where with Erica, you're like, oh, am I going to say that? Because what if Erica didn't know? Like, you have to be like all wussy about it. But this, you're like, did it. You're guilty, bitch.
Yeah, I think this was The premiere was fantastic. I was hooked on every single moment. I cared about what everyone had to say. I love this cast. This is such a good cast. I love it. I love this cast. But it is such a good cast. It is. There's so much. There was Hala. Who would have thought Brooks was gonna bake bread? I think he took some notes. He saw how he was playing out to the public, and he was like, "This year, I'm gonna have carbs." So I think, like,
and of course they made the gay kid bake the challah bread. I mean,
also this was a really smart move for Bravo, because I think that Bravo really they left us with a very difficult Shabbat experience from New York, and they're like, let's change up Shabbat. Let's eat Shabbat Mormon style, okay? And that's what they did, which was great. Also, I think that I would have to say that probably 60% of my enjoyment of this episode was perhaps augmented by the heavy, heavy lifting and great work of the Bravo Tabernacle Choir
The music.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, literally anything that happened on this show, that choir was like, is it time to go? Ready?
The choir, they had the gay men's chorus this year, like their own choir. They had, like, the ladies' choir. They had the mixed choir. And they all had their own, like, every song has its own, like, theme, you know, yes, which we'll go through as we go through the show. But, yeah, I agree. The music, the musicianship this time.
Yeah, we didn't hear Trixie Monocle, but you knew that she was leading the choir. Like, you got the sense that she was conducting. Like, I finally figured out what my next plan is going to be. Choir music, okay? So this is what we're going to do. We have a big choir, and when there's drama, I'm going to say, give me the drama, and then it's going to be amazing. Paul, are you recording? Because the choir is ready, okay? The choir is ready.
Listen, I've sung enough years, boys, all right? But now we're going to do my new song. It's got choral orchestrations, and this song is called I Am a Girl. All right, let's go, choir.
But it's still, all the songs are still called, like, Woman, Yes, I'm a Girl, and I Have Boobies, and I'm in Charge.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely Trixie's fingerprints are all over this choral music, and it's wonderful. It's very stirring. And there's also a lot of, like, great percussion work too. She brought in the best percussionists that are really there only to go give a good, like, boom. Like, it's basically the timpani guy who just has to do one timpani thing every now and then, be like, a boom, boom. Well, the challah's ready. Boom. It's great.
Yeah, the Casio keyboard really stretches for this show.
Yeah,
definitely.
Really, it's just the advances we've made from the '90s in the early days of the MIDI sounds, where the choir always sounded like wah wah wah, but now it's like oh, oh, oh. It brings a tear to the eye.
Truly, and another thing, you know, we have the second season curse, right? And I saw a really good meme. I think it was Bravo Ducking Bravo or Oh No Bravo. Because there's so many good Bravo meme accounts. If you don't follow those two, follow them. They're very good. I think it was one of those who said, oh my God, we get to see the second season curse on everybody at the same time. Which I thought was so clever.
That's so funny.
It's true, and we see Meredith. I mean, we saw Meredith really come out of her shell at the reunion, I would say. I mean, not that she was really in her shell, but we really saw her blossom in the reunion. Yeah. And this year, she's really just pissed off and really leaning into her terrible fashion. Her anger, her, like, I'm going to be angry about this one thing for the rest of the goddamn season. She's really leaned into her head shape.
Yeah, bigger. It's not that she came out of her shell. It's like she came out from behind her diamond studded face veil. You know? And she was like, here I am. And I'm ready. My head is more tilted than ever before. I'm more engaged with being disengaged. And I am happier. And I am hosting Shabbat. And I am ready to take down everyone. Especially if we wind up in a geodesic dome.
We've got the second season curse working backwards on Heather. I mean, Heather kind of was the one they pushed as the star, I think, last year. And this year she's got that center, you know, long underwear, whatever the hell they hold
whatever the beginning it is, the of snowball. This show. What are they holding?
I don't remember.
I think snowflakes.
just
plates from Walters. Just like plates of Italian food from Walters.
Yeah. Well, normally, the second season, you know, is when you see the massive plastic surgery, the new boobs, the new everything that they wanted to fix from the last time. And Heather really you know, she owns her own laser and fillers wrestling place. So she already came into season one with her season two. Like, she couldn't uncross her eyes and move her face. And now she's actually toned down. She's done a reverse season two where she's actually toned down all the work for this season. She looks great.
Mm-hmm. There were actually a lot of people. We saw some sort of like younger photos of this cast. And you're right. The season, it turns out they all did their season two glow up in season one. They just, because I was like, I'm pretty sure all these photos they keep putting on screen are just like the photos they found that came in the frame at CVS. Like, I don't know who these people are. Very lovely person. I don't know what they have to do with Heather right now.
Especially Meredith. Meredith. I'm like, Meredith and Jen Shaw.
Jen.
I was like, who are you guys?
I was like, I don't. Who are these stand-ins that they found? Who are these stunt doubles that they took a picture on and put a filter on it to make it look like it's from the 90s?
Yeah, Whitney, I think, is pretty much the same as season one. She's still just like, I'm a bad girl. I like getting spanked and ha ha ha. I got drunk, and she's like, fine. I mean, you know, I don't hate her or anything. Lisa just really leaned into her.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, a super cut. Last week they gave the first 4 minutes, they showed a preview, and there was already a super cut of Lisa going, I love that. Oh my God, I love this. You know what? I love your house. I love myself. I love this house. I love your car. I love your boots. I love that. And asking for Diet Coke 10 times, you know? Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think it's it was great. Great premiere. So why don't we dive into it? Because especially the first 2 minutes, that's what everyone's talking about right now, right?
Yeah.
So it opens up. We're inside a party bus. There's just like a PA there with a slate. We're putting up a GoPro. It's like, it's like this part of the show has been produced by the feature film Sliver, right? Everything's like, I'm watching you.
Yes. And so it's like, and the screen kind of flashes, and that anyone who has Final Cut, that, you know, that transition you have, it's like, and they're on the bus.
Yeah, basically the screen flickers in a way that screens don't flicker anymore and haven't flickered in 20 years because no one has like antennas anymore. Like,
the tube TV.
Yeah.
But you know, you always, an Apple product user loves to see other Apple products being used, you know, so you've got to call out all the GarageBand and Final Cut Pro X that you see. So like you said, they're on the bus, they're getting shot set up. It's kind of a behind the scenes type thing. And Whitney, I mean, I don't know. I think it's because you detested Whitney last season that it kind of, maybe it's contagious.
I didn't detest her. I just didn't see the point of her in the beginning. Then I understood the point of her.
Okay. But I guess maybe that wore off on me because now I'm like, oh, Whitney, shut up. It's like, she's the basic girl who shows up like, I brought a shot ski. Look, I have my own shot ski. It's
like, I rolled my eyes too. No, Whitney definitely made me roll my eyes a lot this episode. I'm not going to lie. So she comes on with the shot ski, and then the new girl, Jenny, comes on board, and then Heather gets on board this bus, and then Lisa arrives in the most Lisa way, going, hey, I brought tequila, Vita tequila, hi Whitney, hi Heather, hi GoPro camera, hi police officers, hi FBI agents, hi helicopter.
And then Jen shows up in her braids, and she's like, hi. You know, cause she always does that like head roll, attitude head roll. And then Lisa's like, oh my God, she's so cute. And Heather's like, okay, well, Meredith is meeting us there. And then Mary just called and she's meeting us there too. And I just love, like, you know, the facial changes and all that I love, but I also love when people don't change. And this is so Heather to come onto a party bus with just a whole loaf of Wonder Bread or whatever that shit she was holding. Like, that's the girl I want on the road trip, holding a full grocery store fucking white bread, pre-sliced white bread.
I got potato loaf and I got regular. So then Jen's phone rings and she's like, it's Sharif. She goes, hi, baby. No, not yet. We're at Beauty Lab and Laser in the parking lot. Wait. Okay.
She stares at the camera. She sees the camera there. She's like,
wait. Okay. Hey, Whitney, can you take off my mic pack? She is so calm. This is how you know she's a criminal, because she doesn't even flinch. If you tell me, hey, Ben, if I'm innocent, someone says, hey, just so you know, the cops are coming to you and the feds, and they're sending a helicopter, and we're going to reenact the ending of Goodfellas in about 3 seconds, I'd be like, what? Huh? What? But she's like, okay. Like, she's mentally ready. She knew this day was going to come at some point. She has her plan ready. She's like, okay. Hey, wait, can you just take off this mic pack right now? Can you just take that off? Thanks so much.
Yeah, and then she goes outside, and Jen is telling Heather outside. Heather follows her, of course, and she's like, I've had some bad news. She's like, yeah, I mean, I can feel the energy. I mean, wait for it. I just had my elbow skin Botox, and it's giving me kind of psychic powers. It's called your weenus, Heather. Okay, my weenus, yes. I see your energy is crossing a border right now. Okay, your energy's crossing a border. Is that crazy?
Hey, so producers, you're about to have a very cinematic moment. Do you want to maybe like cheat this way so the UPS store isn't in the background? Just sort of like raise the stakes a little bit? No? Okay, that's fine. So then Jen is like, so I just got a phone call and I need to go. Wait, what? A phone call? What? What?
Wait, what? Hi, phone call.
Hi, phone call. Hi, Sharif.
So she leaves, and there's like a big old pickup truck out there waiting for her, and she gets in and drives off, and then it's like, even the police sirens are the ah-ah sounds from the car.
So 12 minutes later, and there's like police cars and helicopters. And you have to imagine, actually, like, if this is not like the funniest thing ever, I know it's a very serious moment, but isn't it funny to be Whitney Rose and thinking you're going off on some ski vacation and like you're suddenly swarmed by FBI agents? Like, how amazing is this? Whitney, like, what is going on right now? Is it because I left the church?
Yeah, the police come in, and Whitney's like, you've been a very bad boy. I'm here to arrest you. I'm a rebel.
Are you here to learn about pole dancing? Because that is something I can do.
Why are the police here? Hi, police.
Hi. Do you want some Vita tequila?
And the fed's like, we're looking for Jen Shah. Oh my God. Okay. If you want to find Jen Shah, basically she's dressed like a knockoff Louis Vuitton Dollar Tree kiosk. So you'll be able to see her. Just look for an LV in a pickup truck. Okay.
Did you try Topgolf? And so then, and Heather goes, you guys, what if she's on the run? And Lisa's like, well, how did they know she was here? Someone had to have told them that she was here. I'm like, well, I'm sure that the FBI called up Bravo and was like, where's your star? And they're like, at Beauty Lab. Like, I'm sure Bravo is not covering for their stars. They're probably like, please tell us where you're going to be, because that's where we want to be.
Yeah, exactly. They were probably like, don't get it right now. We need this on camera. Okay, give us about 12 minutes. We'll hop around a bus.
Hold on for 1 second.
Yeah, you know, someone had to have told him she was here. I mean, if she gets life in prison, I hope they call it Vita in prison. Can we brand that?
Yeah, can we get a cute four top in that prison? Thanks. So, Shaw Chalet 2.0.
The rental. Second, her lying Charental. Ass. Yeah, so the second rental, the rent shawl. And rent someone's shawl. Like, what are you guys doing here? And the fed's like, there's a search warrant. All right, now, it took us a while to get here in these covered wagons, but we're here now. Get us Jen Shah.
But then we go back to the party bus, and Whitney is like reading her phone. She's like, oh my gosh, Real Housewife star charged with massive fraud, laundering.
Oh my God, laundry's against the law. I do laundry. Rebel. Yeah, I'm a rebel.
No, don't love that. Don't love that. No.
I have chills. Must mean it's time for a hot tub because I have chills.
And the new girl's just eating a giant bag of Cheetos. Like, what the fuck are these Looney Tunes doing?
She's like, you know? I was in a refugee camp. This is nothing. You guys need to shut up.
So Whitney's like,
oh my God, she and Stu Chains are charged for stealing people's money.
Dun, dun, dun. Let me see.
Courthouse.
Then we see Jen coming out of the courthouse. How do you make the Law and Order sound with the
choir?
We
just did it together.
And Lisa's like, guys, I don't think she is who we think she is. And Meredith goes, She's not
who she thinks she is. Can she make a collar? I don't think so.
So, Jenny's like, do you have business with Jen? And Lisa just goes like this. Hop, 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 hop. Her lips just flutter.
Yeah. Lisa's just like, oh shit. So I guess Lisa got into bed with Jen. Yikes.
So then Heather goes, I don't want to be indicted. I don't want to be involved, which is a very funny counterpoint to what's going on in Beverly Hills, where that's like, they're all like, Sutton's the only one who can say that. And Heather's just like, shit, I don't want to be involved in this. They're all like, get away.
And Whitney says, if we do not share what we know, we are in danger. And the producer asks them, what do you know? And Whitney's like,
well, I know that I'm wearing really short underwear right now. Suck it, Joseph Smith.
And then Lisa just looks away like, don't like that. What do I know? I know I love that. But what do I love? That's one secret I'll never tell. XOXO. Gossip Lisa. So then.
And the producer asks, who do you think, Mary? Who do you think tipped off the feds that day? And Mary just gives this like,
she just bulges her eyes. She actually like has no Mary idea face. What's going on.
There are so many good Mary faces in this.
She's like, well, I'll tell you who it was. The Applebee's Corporation. They're like, oh, okay, next witness. And then it goes.
Okay.
Then they ask Meredith, who do you think tipped off the feds? And she goes,
I'm not going to say who, but I'll just say in a way that says, I know exactly who did it, and his name rhymes with Cox.
Yeah. I don't know who did it, but whoever did it must have been traumatized by somebody's vagina.
Whoever did it was probably terrorized down by Jen Shaw, that's for sure.
Terrorized and traumatized.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
And then we get the taglines. Oh my god, Jen
Shaw. Oh, I didn't write down the taglines. Let me go. You sent me them, so let me pull them up. Because for some reason, yeah. I didn't write them down. So one second.
Slick, man. Slick.
I know. Okay. Real slick. Okay. I'm ready. All right.
So Jen Shaw starts, and she's like, the only thing I'm guilty of is being amazing.
No. Shaw-mazing.
Shaw-mazing.
The only thing I'm guilty of is trying to make Shaw-mazing a thing.
I have to do... yeah. And then, I have to practice the head roll thing she does. She's like, the only thing I want to do... The only thing I'm guilty of is being shamazing.
You know what I have to say I'm really happy about, by the way? I'm really happy that they kept the interstitial video of her when it introduces a Jen Shaw scene of her sort of like floating backwards. Like she's sort of like an avatar on a PlayStation 2 game. Okay, so Mary's is, if you come for me, I will send Jesus after you, which is wow. That's an aggressive, like, sorry to use the word aggressive there, but it was definitely a scary phrase. Like, oh, you come after me, I am literally going to send God for Christians to you.
Like Jesus is out there, you know, ready to kill somebody for Mary. What the hell, Mary?
That's very like most people say, if you come for me, you will have hell to pay or something like that. Like, no, I'm sending Jesus for you. I'm going to the highest authority and I'm telling him to come after you instead.
Well, he does know the family very well. They have that picture in the church of him, of Jesus, like shaking hands with the grandmother. Like, hey, welcome to your church that I've just given you. Anyone gives you trouble, I will cut them off at the knees. Okay, just let me know who they are. Okay.
By the way, I think there's a rumor going on going around the internet that Robert Cosby Sr. or whatever is brothers with Bill Cosby. And I don't think that's been verified or is true.
Is that true, Robert?
No, Senior. I don't think it is. I have not found any evidence of that. Cosby, I think it's just that someone Senior. Put that out there, and I want to say It's not. I've looked, Ronnie. I've looked. It's a lie.
Oh, you said it's not?
It's not. It's not true.
You found out it's not? Mary Robert Cosby biography. Yeah, I don't know. I can't find.
No, what happened
was.
Don't
send me down these rabbit holes.
Sorry. No, it's one of those things where Google Images, like if you type in his name, Google Images, that doesn't even matter. The point is this. Fake news. Okay, you do the next one. Meredith Marks.
Oh, God. Now I'm looking at all these Robert Cosby stories. They're crazy. Hey, you want to have a good time? Google Robert Cosby Sr. That's fun. Okay, so Meredith Marks, who's definitely got season two face. I don't even know who this lady is. Looks great, though. Looks great. Yeah. So she's like, I may be known for my eyes, but I always bring the heat.
Which reminds me, Seth, the heating went out. Could you fix that, Seth?
There's like poop all over the carpet, Seth, because the heating went out. What was that last year where their toilets overflowed? Toilet. Because
everything was going wrong before the fashion show. Also, why do I feel like Meredith Marks this line? I may be known for my eyes, but I always bring the heat. Why do I feel like it's a literal line? Like she's known for her ice cubes.
She's that lady on the cul-de-sac who's like the first one to buy the giant ice maker thing.
Do you guys want circles or squares? It's kind of a thing that we have here. We have really nice ice. It's just something that brings the family together. Like she's going to sell her own branded Meredith Marks ice in bags.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So Whitney. In a town of beauties and beasts, there's only one wild rose. Because my last name is Rose and I'm wild because I'm a rebel.
You can't tell me what to do, Mormons.
Then we go to Heather Gay, who's like, I was raised Mormon, but now I'm raising a glass of champagne.
A little forced, but it's okay. We support it. You know, it's good enough. It's good enough.
It's not really. You're holding the center long underwear. I need more from you, okay, ma'am? Yeah, I know I'm harder on Heather than all the others, but you are the anchor, okay? And if the anchor doesn't work, the boat doesn't sail.
Okay. That's right. That's right. I still think I like Mary's the most. Okay, we have the new girl, Jenny. I have plenty of everything, including opinions. Okay, that's good. I like that. I like that.
Yeah, that works okay. That's good. Then we get to Lisa Barlow. You don't have to like me. I love myself enough for the both of us, Diet Coke.
I love that. I love that.
Love that.
I love that. I love that for both of us. Yeah, I love that.
I actually like that one.
Me too. Me too. Okay, now.
I love myself enough for the both of us. It's a very Ramona Singer.
I know. So now, 2 months earlier.
Well, this is the gay men's choir, the gay men's chorus. It comes in on this one. So they're
sorry. So now we're at the new Sha Chalet, and Jen is with Marilo, basically her second assistant / FBI mole, perhaps. And they're chopping veggies and making hummus. But the music is like, it's like, whoa. Now we know she's a criminal, but the veggies, I think, is a pretty benign thing. It's like, bah, bah, bah. I think we'll have some celery.
It's also pretty amazing that Jen, I mean, she didn't know at this point, I'm assuming, that she was going to get arrested by the feds in the middle of the season. And yet she starts the season dressed in snakeskin. Like a snakeskin print, which is really good. And then she makes so many, she makes so many lines that are like, oh, it's like so cringe knowing that she's going to get, and by cringe, I mean,
hilarious.
like fun, dancey cringe, you know?
Yeah. So Lisa comes over. So now the music switches to a more cheerful, ha, ha, ho, ha, ha, ho, 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 love that.
Love that. I love that. I love that. Ding dong, I love that ding dong. So she's like, hi, how are you? I love your outfit. Yeah, well, I wore it because I feel like this is a Lisa Barlow vibe. She's like, yeah, your hair is fabulous too. And I love your new house. Love that.
Yeah, we love the amenities here. Like, there's this great shredder in the basement. Ugh, love that.
So, yeah, you never have to leave, right? Yeah, we never have to leave here. Wow, you're just stuck in one space all the time, not being able to leave. Wow, it's great to get used to living that way, you know, just in case.
And you know what I love about it? It's away from everyone, so we don't even have to put bars on the windows. So Jen's like, I love the Shaw Chalet, but all good things, everything. But like all good things, everything comes to an end. Just like our lease did. We found the next best thing. Shaw Chalet 2.0. Can't even imagine what Shaw Chalet 3.0 is going to look like.
It's going to have a moat around it. Okay. So then she gives the tour. She's like, here's the living room.
Love that. Here's the dining room.
Oh my God, I love that.
Love that.
Here's the master bedroom. Oh my God, love that. Even though you called the master bedroom, we're not saying that anymore.
Yeah,
love it so.
Primer suite. Love that.
Primer suite. Yeah.
Primer. I love a primer and I love a master. I love it.
So then, of course, it's Bravo, and Bravo is their first season of, like, you know, blatant criminality. I mean, we had Teresa, but
yeah,
this is like, well, maybe that's why they're so polished in it already, where they can just churn out Beverly Hills and then Salt Lake City in the same year, and they're like, okay, this is how it's gonna happen. We need to brag about the closets. I want you to go into the closets and see all the money that has been stolen from meemaws all across America. Okay.
Yeah. And so Jen says, well, we had movers, and when they showed up, they had never seen so many clothes, shoes, and purses in their entire lives.
Yeah. She's got nerves. She's got nerve, this one.
So she goes, let's grab some food and sit down. Good, because I'm always hungry. Did you know, did you read that what I eat in a day is I wake up, I have a Kit Kat, and that's all I have. And I look at Diet Cokes until it's 3 p.m., and then I have Diet Coke.
She says, I have 4 Kit Kats. That's what she said.
4 Kit Kats.
Like, yeah, I have 4 Kit Kats in the morning. You did not eat 4 damn Kit Kats. So what, she was eating like little sticks, I guess, and calls those like 4 Kit Kats.
I guess so. But also, doesn't the whole thing, they go to Taco Bell or something like that. So they sit down and Jen says, you know, she's like, most of the women question how real my friendship is with Lisa. And I think they're just jealous because they don't have a good relationship with Lisa like I do.
Love that. Love that for us.
So Jen's like, well, thanks for coming up, because like the last 6 months have been like really rough for me.
Yeah. COVID happened. Everything shut down. Old people weren't opening their mail as quickly. It's not like I could just like reach out to you, and we're all quarantined, and you know, I'm doing okay now. I didn't know I'd be okay. I thought my entire world was ending, but luckily my entire world is absolutely not ending right now. And won't be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Everything is totally going to stay the same in my world.
And we so finally she's hit like, smooth sailing.
Yeah. It's like 6 months ago, Sharif and I almost got a divorce. And I thought like my life was over. She goes, oh my God, I would feel the same way. Don't love that. She's like, yeah, but like COVID happened, like the shutdown. And like, I couldn't reach out to you or like get together. Right. So like we were quarantine, and like I'm okay now, but like I didn't know I would be okay, and like I thought my entire world was ending, and like I mean it was terrible, it was almost over. It's like, get on with it, lady, what happened?
Yeah,
she's, so basically Sharif almost left her ass, and when they ask her why, she's like, because of basically what I always do. And then they show the clip of her like screaming and yelling,
being crazy and saying, I didn't realize how I was acting, and because I hadn't told him how I was feeling, it made him feel like he was the problem. And Lisa goes, oh, sorry, I wasn't listening, but I just assume Jen Shaw, typical behavior, crazy person, patient husband, got sick of it, right? Was it something like that? Yeah. Okay, great.
And she's like, well, we've had fights before, but this is the first time that he was ever like, I'm leaving you. I mean, his final breaking point. And I just love that she says his final breaking point. Like, she's just broken him like, so many times. She's like, this time I broke him and he almost didn't get put back together.
Yes, yeah, it's final breaking. That's right. And I also like that the final breaking point is if there might not be any other breaking points, then any other stresses on this marriage that might be on the horizon. So, then we see a photo of Coach Shaw with another lady, and I was like, oh my God, he's cheating on her, but it was actually Jen Shaw from 20 years ago. And so she basically was like,
that was like Jen Shaw before she went to Fantasy Island or some shit. I was like, who is that? Who is yeah. that? That's a different head.
So then she said, this is the first time that Coach said, I'm leaving you. Okay. And like, I don't know. So we see a montage of the fighting and everything. And like the, like just her getting angry and getting upset and lashing out and how she, you know, lashes out to get attention from the people that are closest to her. And this time she's like, I lash out at people to get attention, but now they're saying, hey, but we're hurting too. And I realized that. So she just didn't realize that she had not really processed everything from her dad dying. And, you know,
she's totally fine now, guys. Yeah. She's totally calm now. Everything. She's a changed person. Okay. And that is another Bravo season 2 thing that I love, because, you know, this is going to last about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
I love, you know, watching the lift up and then the self tear down.
Yeah. And she goes, you know, it's hard being a coach's wife in a Power 5 conference, and people don't understand that this is not Little League. And Lisa goes, it's major, as if she has any idea what a Power 5 conference is.
But I know what leagues are, and that's a major league. Major wheelchair. Okay.
That's like the Sundance Film Festival of leagues. Okay. Power 5.
And I told Sharif, I was like, I signed off on him being a coach.
Yes, you can't be upset. Yeah. Yeah, you can't be upset. It's like, yeah. And we're in couples therapy. And I'm like, yeah. Yo,
nobody's leaving each other in this marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's also like, and I don't want to start over. I mean, no one's going to want to put up with this ass. And you know what? I'm just much happier now that I've finally faced what was killing me. And you know what? It's okay to not be okay all the time. Oh, that makes me so happy. It's okay to not be okay. It's like saying, it's okay to love that, even if you don't love that.
You know what? It's okay to not love that, but I do love that. Is it okay to be okay? Is that okay? Is it only okay to be not okay? Or is it okay to also be okay? Because I'm okay. I love me.
So then Lisa's like, I know Meredith's friendship is important to you. And when you first met her, you were having the time of your lives. And then there was this like disconnect. And I don't want to be in the middle by any means, Jen. But I definitely want to be a really good friend to you and to Meredith. And part of that means brokering a peace, because I want you guys to have peace and also come together and be like, can I touch? And you're touching each other's faces. Is that okay?
Were they having the time of their lives, though?
I remember when you guys met, you were having the time of your lives.
I remember you guys would like go down to the lake, and one of you guys would lift the other one up and be like, wow, I lifted you guys up in the lake. Wow, time of your lives.
Remember that time when you went to her house? Time of your life. That was crazy, right? Oh my God. Is it okay to remember those times?
I love remember those the times. Time? Remember the time when Seth put Brooks in the corner and you walked up and you said, nobody puts Brooks in the corner. Time of your life.
So Lisa, of course, makes this all about her. She's like, yeah, I mean, I get that they're not getting along, but like what Jen did to Meredith was not that much different than what Whitney and Heather did to me.
Weather. That's what they did. All right. Weather.
Whitney, they Heather, did it to me. Bad weather. Don't ever forget. Listen, I worked really hard on that, so let's bring it back. Okay, let's bring it back.
Not dropping it. Not dropping that. You know what? People thought the name Diet Coke was stupid too, but now everybody says that. It's like, what do you want for breakfast? Diet Coke. What do you wish if you could have any wish in the world? Diet Coke.
Okay. Diet Coke. Good joke. Oh, I see it works. So then we have enough. Now the Tabernacle Choir is back with a bum, 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 bum. I mean, the scene's not over. They're just the choir just came in.
Oh, I was like scrolling through. It's like, oh shit, where am I?
Actually, no, I'm sorry. No, the music was just going like, bum, 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 bum. I just wrote down music is going bum, 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 bum. To me, oh yeah, you already said that part. They perpetuated bad weather. We're talking about bad weather again, guys. They perpetuated and created lies about me and my character. Okay.
And so we get to see what these lies are. We go back to the reunion to see these big lies that Heather was spewing about Lisa, when Heather was like, you know what? She was mean to me about not knowing me. And then Whitney's like,
this woman has put me down over and over, and that is the goddamn I'm a rebel truth. That is the truth.
Bad weather. Bad weather. That was me doing bad weather.
So Lisa's like, am I okay with that? Meredith can choose to be around whoever she wants to be around. Is it hypocrisy? Yes, it is. Are wolves fresh? They are when they purchase bear oil and aftershave from my children. Okay? Here's what I say. Here's what I say. Here's what I say.
Here's what I say. Fresh wolf. Fresh wolf from children. Okay?
It's like she's giving advice to Jen Shaw in the future.
I just pulled a muscle on this. This is maybe last time I pulled a muscle on this side. I'm like, ow. Fresh wolf, don't love that. Don't love that. Okay, pushing through the pain.
Fresh wolf, old muscle. Okay. That's my husband's brand.
Yeah. So then Lisa goes,
limping wolf.
Listen, okay, fresh wolves have this to say. You know I'm always here for you. Just don't kill the person in the middle, because that never happens on Bravo, okay? Killing the person in the middle. And Jen goes, girl, you know I'd go to jail for you. I haven't gone to jail yet.
Oh.
And it's like, somewhere Andy Cohen is like, got it.
Yeah, nailed it.
So coming up, Whitney drops a cake on the floor. Don't worry, not gonna have to wait all season to see that. Okay, it's coming up after this break. So now we get Inspector Gadget Choir. It's like, it's like cute wacky choir.
And a dog sled. We see a dog sled. And then Meredith's new house. And Meredith is talking to her dog. She has a big blue puffy sweater for her dog. Teddy, I want to show you a little present. Okay, I got you a very special present. I'm going to dress you up with my love. My love.
This is Kristen Cowan at Snacks and Bone. You're going to look like your mama did on my birthday last year.
Hold on. There's someone at the door holding Wonder Bread. One second.
Hi. Oh, my God. I'm dressed in the same color as your dog.
It's Heather, totally bundled up, because she literally just came from skiing. It's almost as if she were skiing and either she forgot she had to film something, or the producers were like, hey, can you just go to Meredith's house and shoot a scene? She's like, sure, but I'm starving. And so so she shows up and she wears her ski goggles the entire scene. They're just like on top of her head. She like does not ever get out of her jacket. She's just like, hey, how's it going? I was like, are you gonna take off your ski goggles or what?
So we see Meredith's new house and the views, and Meredith tells us that after what Seth and I went through last year, we wanted a fresh start, so we got a home with better views that's much more reflective of us.
Great. I love that story. You mind if I open up this hummus? Okay, great. Heather's like just like shoving everything off the table, be like, snack time.
Yeah, so they talk about how their marriage is working great, they've gotten through it, and Seth is spending about 50% of his time with her now in town instead of Ohio. She didn't have to move, which is nice. And then Heather's like, oh my God, he's here like 50% of the time? That's like such a healthy balance, because like sometimes it could be like 10-90, or sometimes it could be like 7-30, but like 50-50, that's like... that's a good balance. Yes, Heather, it's equal, okay?
It's yeah, so then Heather's saying how her daughter Ashley has senior night tonight, and Ashley doesn't even know what school she's been accepted in, because they're going to all go to school and like reveal what colleges they got into.
That is so like, humiliating. Oh my God.
Yeah, Meredith is like, wait, you guys do that at school? I'm disengaging with the school system right now. That is crazy that they do that. How could they do that? I would, like, never, never. Oh, my goodness. So,
yeah, well, I guess that, like, makes you do better in school, because you don't want to look like an asshole at the school assembly where everybody's, like, booing your, you know, your college acceptance letters or whatever. It's like, loser.
College acceptance idol. Like, that's what it would be like. Oh, my goodness. So she talks. basically, Heather talks about how all of Ashley's friends stayed home, or maybe it was Heather's friends that stayed home and just lived with her parents and went to community college and all that. And Meredith goes, really? I'm sorry, I disengaged with this story. I got distracted in your ski goggles looking at my face, okay?
Yeah, and Heather's like, you know, normally you go to Mormon school, you live with your parents, you find your eternity partner, and then you make lots of babies, but I just don't want that for Ashley. Like, you know, I was called, like, good time girl, and I want Ashley to actually, like, get to live that reputation.
That badge of honor. And we see that, like, 2 days earlier, we see Heather talking with Ashley and the other sisters. And Ashley's saying, they're talking about, like, maybe going to California because Ashley really wants to go to school in California. And Ashley says, I feel like you're just, like, ready for me to get out of the house. And it cuts to the sisters who smile like, I can't stand you, bitch. Yeah. Get out.
And Heather even says, she's like, yeah, you need to get the fuck out of here. So then, you know, that's it, basically. Teddy's like wacky and standing on top of the table, which I knew you loved.
Yeah. And Meredith goes, no, for some reason, I thought it was so funny. Not the line, but just Meredith, like an observation from the world of Meredith. She goes, Teddy thinks he's a cat. You know that she, like, tells that to everyone. Oh, that's Teddy. He thinks he's a cat. It's like, did Meredith tell you about Teddy being a cat? Yeah, she always says it.
So then we get the ah-ah dance music. Ots, 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 ots,
ots, ots, ots, ots, ots, ots, ots, ots. Okay, this track right here is called Jesus Needs to Dance Too, okay? Paul, hit record.
This track is called Jesus is a Girl. All right.
This one's called Mary Magdalene Boogie, okay?
So we go to Whitney's house, and she's taped a hooray sign to the countertop.
I did not notice that. Oh, I wonder what sort of paper stock she used and what font. Hooray. In case
I don't know why that made me laugh so hard. It was just so, it's just like so lazy, you know. She's got it. She's like, I'm going to put this on the countertop. Most people in Utah would put this above an entryway, but I'm going to put it on the countertop. Rebel.
Well, yeah, I like the idea that she's putting it on a horizontal surface. Hooray. Yeah. It's just like, she just taped it onto that. So, yeah, she's just wearing a bikini around, which I thought was weird at first. But then turns out they're going to be having a hot tub party because her husband's name is Jason, right? Is it Jason? Richard?
I forgot.
Paul?
I don't care. I don't know.
George Costanza. So he basically, his sons that are from previous marriage are coming over for, it's one of their birthdays. So they come over because one of them's turning 26. And Whitney's like, it's weird because Austin, my eldest stepson, is coming over with people I went to high school with. And they're like, hey, mom, what's up? It's funny. I'm like, I'm not your mama. In case you couldn't tell the joke, because I'm not the mama, but I'm like their age. It was funny.
Yeah. Guys, guess what? I really make fun. I've got shot skis. Wow.
It's like, oh my God, you're really relying on this shot skis thing.
Dude. I know. Andy's going to sue you. And so then, Whitney goes, so guys, guess what? I got my first iteration of my rebrand. I was like, rebrand? What was the brand? What was the original brand? She goes, I'm going from Iris and Beau to Wild Rose Beauty. I was like, what is this? What is this? What is this product? Did she ever talk about this product, or am I? Just,
yeah, like, I think she did because I remember her talking about like finding homeopathic drops friend, right? Or something, like a tincture or something.
Didn't she go to her QAnon friend's house and they tried some of it? Wasn't that a thing happened?
So. Oh, maybe. God, I don't know.
Remember it's a that crazy lady.
Scene, so I don't know. It's like you know, recapping what a jar of mayonnaise did last week. Like, what the fuck what do I know? What do I care? Okay.
Oh, I hope I put my mayonnaise away, by the way. I did actually
use it. It never goes bad. Trust me. I just had some the other day that I've had in the fridge probably for a year. And I was like, oh my God, this has got to be, smells delicious, making a sandwich.
Well, that's an apt metaphor then, calling Whitney mayonnaise if it never goes bad. I'm a rebel, though.
I was born bad.
No, actually, there's a lot of preservatives in you.
Oh.
So, she had bad skin.
It's one
skin.
Of the kids' birthdays, and yeah, she talks about how she had bad skin, and so she used to go to the Whole Foods, basically, and she would get a bunch of those little drops of vitamin E and whatever and mix it together and make her own potion.
And she talks about her rebrand to Wild Rose Beauty, because obviously her last name is Rose, and she's saying, like, what do you guys think? It's Wild Rose. And so one of the sons is like, yeah, I like Wild Rose. And she goes, yeah, because it doesn't know any bounds, right? I was like, yes, that's what I often think about. Those wild roses just taking over the landscape. Look out, those wild roses that know no bounds. Hold them back.
So she's like, growing up Mormon, we learned that the man is the provider, and I'm ready to make my own money and not have to do this.
And she starts deep throating a water bottle.
Please use Vita tequila. Hey, Whitney, I heard you were filleting a bottle, but it wasn't Vita, and we had sent you all that Vita. That was, like, really inconsiderate.
So then she does shots and more shots with the kids, and she's like,
you know, the fact that my stepsons see me hustling and they watch me let loose, it creates this, like, role model for them, because like they see me like working hard and playing hard.
They're like, Whitney, we're investment bankers. You just do you.
So now she's just drunk, right? So everyone's outside in the hot tub jumping all over each other, and she's carrying the birthday cake out, which we mentioned in our preview of the trailer of a couple months ago. She has it on the store plastic, but then puts the plastic on top of the cake dish, so it just slides right off.
Well, and also she's holding it at like a 45-degree angle. So it just slides off and goes on the tour on the floor. So she's laughing. So she actually gathers up this flattened cake and puts it back on, which is not very sanitary, but I'm like, okay, you know, maybe they'll eat the top of the cake or something. So she puts it back on and she takes like two steps and it just falls again. She's like, oops, sorry.
Because then she's picking up the plates that she's left on the couch and then she's dropping that. And she's like, ah! And the music's like, ha, 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 ha. Isn't this funny? You know, it's like this funny, funny thing. And I was like, they're going to use this shit against you 3 seasons from now when your ass is in rehab. You know, they're going to be like, remember that sad night that Whitney taped Yahoo to her kitchen countertop and got wasted with her kids around. It's just going to show her being like,
somewhere Siggy Flicker is very triggered by all this. That's what I've got to say. So we now go to Mary's church, which is empty. So it's like, huh? The music is actually, I wrote down this music is more in the style of a wah, not a ha. So it was like, wah, 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 wah. Like, that is the music of saran wrapped furniture that hasn't been used because there's been a pandemic, you know?
Yeah, it really is. All the lecterns are wrapped in saran wrap. And then outside the church, there's a building that says, "You are here," which I thought was very apt for a Mary scene.
Wherever you go, so, that's where you are.
So she comes in and she's got a podcast set up in her office. And she's got Sean and a preacher. I forgot his name. And they're all in there. And she's like, this is my first show. I have like a live podcast with Mary. I'm gonna do it. It's a live show. It's a podcast. And it's me. It's gonna be me, Mary, doing a show of a podcast.
I feel like knowing Mary, she probably thinks that she is casting peapods in a stage production of something. So
it's like cornhole with like edamame, you know.
It's VeggieTales, the live action musical. So which actually VeggieTales, I think, is Christian-based. So Lenny, her friend Lenny looks terrified. He has this smile on his face like, please don't put me back in the church basement, please. So she is...
He should be terrified. I mean, if anybody has looked up Mary gossip and this church, it is crazy. And we didn't go into too much of it last season. I touched on it a little, but it just seems so crazy to bring all of it in here, but there is troves of it, and it looks like they're bringing it on the show this year, and I'm so excited. So there's a reason these people look terrified.
So Mary tells us, she's like, well, I spent the whole pandemic by myself. Well, 6 months of it, because Robert Sr. got stuck in Florida, and he was too afraid to fly home. Yes, he was stuck in Florida with most certainly his not other wife.
Yeah, not at all.
Unfortunately, he could not get a ticket on not other wife having airlines, so he was stuck there.
Yeah, so she tells us, you know, the first 6 months I was stuck with my son, but it's not like my son wants to sit and talk to me, so in my aloneness, I talk to myself. And that's when she makes this face. She goes, I talk to myself.
As if she did not already talk to herself, okay? I'm not even sure any of the people in her life that we've seen are real people. I think we just somehow got them projected from her brain. So, she goes, developing through that aloneness, I start talking to myself, and we see her talking to some eggs, and she's like, wow, these look like they just dropped out of a uterus. Also, why is she washing her eggs? And it just occurred to me.
She's such a cuckoo bird, this lady.
Why is she washing her eggs?
She goes, and I came up with, you know what I came up with? Why don't I have a podcast? You know, that way I could outlet real people. What? What are you talking about? Yes.
So now she's here recording her podcast, so she doesn't talk to herself anymore. But I don't think she even had a plan for this podcast. I think this was like not only the first episode, I think this is 2 minutes after the decision was made to start a podcast. Because she goes, hello, everyone. Talking to everyone out there. This is Mary's podcast. Talking facts with Mary. Like, do you know what your podcast name is?
No, she's just making it up. She's like, welcome to, this looks like it just dropped out of a uterus. Facts. With talking, let. So one of the guys goes, talking facts of life. She goes, okay, let's pray. So they all bend down. And the preacher guy, who's like the DJ for the church, he's got like his full DJ set up. And he brought the podcast stuff, I'm assuming. But he's like the church DJ. And he's like, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you right now. And then it gets into the full on
like the
preacher.
Music, it's all like, where he says, bless this podcast, which I think is funny. I feel like God has other things to bless other than a podcast. And then so he starts going like really into it, and the music, they start playing like revival, like a revival beat below him.
In the name of Jesus. Oh.
And Mary goes, stop. I'm gonna show you, okay? without all that. Just relax and feel something. Okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, my God, we are coming to you humbly. My God, we want you to hear us. Show us you are real in this 21st century. Bless all the people that want to know you are God. Amen. That's it, Sean.
Bless all the people that want to know you are God.
God's like,
men, like that. They just like that. Okay. Just natural. Okay.
And then the church loses all power, and that's God's way of saying, okay, I am real and I'm stopping your podcast.
So she's like, you know, she tells us this year has been really hard because she hasn't been able to go to church, and she is the first lady of Faith Temple Pentecostal Church, and she goes, I feel like you need that energy to recharge like a battery. I was like, yes, Mary. So then we get a close-up.
No, like a wagon wheel. Yeah.
So then we see the picture, the painting of Jesus holding her grandma's hand and like welcoming her to her business. And she goes, now, guys, we know that we have a calling for God. And the guy's like, yeah, you know, even kids are following us. She goes, they better be following us, but let's be real. Guys, our kids are not following us. They're not, guys. Like, yeah, damn it. Damn Instagram. Darn internet.
Yeah. And then she talks about how children tend to get with it when they have too much access to money, they get lost in it and everything, as if she has not like spent a lot of money on her children or her son. And then she says that Robert Jr. is in a mode right now of not listening to her. And she just wants her son, Robert Jr., to have stability so she doesn't have to take care of him, which is a lie. She wants to take care of him for the rest of his life, you know? And then they start talking about drugs. They start talking about doing, like, smoking weed and everything. And she's like, I smoked weed. I mean, I can't remember the last time. I don't remember what I was doing when I smoked blunt, but I definitely, I recognize the smell because I smell everything. You know, I smell everything, though.
Yeah. And then there's no lesson about drugs or anything. She's just like, yeah, drugs are fun. Glad we talked about that. Okay. But when I realized, like, here, look, I realized when I came to God that what makes me stay driven is I was never loved. And they're like, Mary, no. No, I was never loved like that from a human, only God. And that is why I don't trust human beings. And that is a fact. I don't trust human beings. Don't flip-flop. Don't waver. To a certain point, you cannot convince me of everything. This is where I am. So how did I get here? That is the question. How did I get here?
I was like, this is your sermon? Don't trust people?
I don't trust humans. And she goes, Mary, how did you get so strong? Well, I came to terms with myself in reality and facts. Because I was born... My God. I was born for God. And if you have a job... You stand there for your position, and I'm here to spread the gospel and know your purpose in life. But if you don't believe anything I say, I get it, because I don't trust humans. I don't trust humans at all.
I love that. And so she gets all, you know, riled up for her ending, and she's like, and know your purpose in life. Close it out now. Close it out. That was done. That was good. We're done.
I got into a big fight with my garbage can because I found out it was simple human. I was like, is there garbage in there? Yeah. So,
that cracked me up. I was dying during this scene. Mary, what a gift. What a gift.
So good. And now we move on to the new girl, Jenny. So we hear piano playing. It's like, and it's Jenny, and she's with her daughter at a piano, and there's like a knock at the door, and hi, it's Lisa and Jack. Hi. And the funny thing is, Lisa comes in, and the daughter is still at the piano. Literally doing scales like dun 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 dun. And Lisa goes, she is so good.
You know, she actually is really good. I have to say, as someone currently in piano classes, I was like, F that little girl. I'm so jealous. She's like sitting there playing, you know, like chords with both of her hands, like dong dong dong, like doing the full on church gospel chords with that little brat. Okay, that's not fair. Help
she
me.
Is. She is really good, but it just was funny that at that moment, all she was doing was playing scales. And Lisa's like, wow.
Wow, she's so good. So then we meet Dewey and Carlin, who's the daughter, and Lisa comes in and she tells us that Jenny and I have been friends for 10 years. We were pregnant together. We were pregnant together. And then Jenny tells her story. She's like, yeah, she tapped me on the shoulder at school and she said, oh my God, you're Atlas's mom. And that's Jack's best friend. I was hoping we could take Atlas on our next road trip because my husband has terrible direction. Can we just steal him?
And I was like, oh, awesome. And then I turned and then we bumped bellies. Okay. Do you guys want to hear about that again? How we bumped bellies? Yeah. Guys, we bumped bellies. We bumped bellies. Yeah, we bumped bellies. Yeah. Remember when we bumped bellies? Yeah. Oh my God. That time when our bellies bumped? Yeah, it was a belly bump because we bumped bellies. Yeah. Yeah.
It was actually really funny because we bumped bellies, but Harry did have to wear a helmet for like his first 2 years. Not going to lie. I'm not saying it was your fault, but
fresh belly. Yeah. So Jenny's like, you want something to drink? And she goes, I'd love a Diet Coke. And she's our first Diet Coke reference of the year. And so Dewey and Atlas went skiing that day. But Carlin didn't. She goes, I think school is more important. And Lisa goes, oh, you get straight A's, don't you? She goes, yeah, no B's. That's why we're Asian, not Bijan. And she says it. And this is like a little girl. And she just says it like, girl.
I know. She's like becoming my new hero immediately.
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
Hey, you know what? Tell Jack. Hey, Jack, you want to appreciate Johnny? Johnny, tell him how you got here from Vietnam.
And what is that pivot?
On a
what is
boat, that pivot? Dude.
On a boat. It was such a strange pivot, but then Jenny was like right there for it. She's like, on a boat. Because you know they probably do this. This is like their bar trick. It's like, let's go to the bar and tell people how you got here from Vietnam. Hey, barkeep, can we have some Vita tequila? And also, guess how she got here? On a boat. Yeah, high five. Belly bump. Belly bump.
So we get her story. She's like, well, I'm 45 years old. No, wait, I'm 43, actually, because I'm 2 years young. Okay, you know what? I got it. Okay, all right, I can go on. He's like, what do you mean? Which I was surprised that a producer who's used to working with Mary Cosby this long even asked.
Yeah. And so she basically, on paper, she's 2 years younger because when she came over at some point, and her journey, like on paper. Oh, so they took off 2 years that way she could go to kindergarten. That's what it was.
Right.
So.
And I was like, perfect housewife already. You're already changing your day. You started changing your age in kindergarten. Okay. Yeah. You're going to be like lead housewife soon, Jenny.
Well, she said she lived through the war, but the thing is, if she's 43 or even 45, the war ended in 75. So, but she had distinct memories of it. So I think she actually might be a little older than she's letting on. Or, I mean, I don't know. Maybe living through the war also includes the post-war period, which was pretty tough for Vietnam. Regardless, I'm just saying, like, maybe she is like a true housewife and just lying about everything. So,
whoa, someone really watched the Vietnam Ken Burns documentary.
Gosh. No, of course she. I'm not disputing whether she lived through the war. I'm just disputing her age. So, anyway, so Dewey starts talking about like how they came, like some of the ways that they, you know, had to like get out of the country, and like there were these fishing boats that looked like people were fishing on top, but there were people on the bottom, and like, you know, and then they were intercepted by Thai pirates, and Lisa's like, this is intense, it's unreal, Jack, listen, this is good, she's almost at the belly part, okay, wait till you get to the belly part, this is really good, yeah.
Mm. Thai pirates.
And she ended up in Long Beach, and she's like, is poor guys, you don't know what
I said, as one does.
As one does.
You start off sneaking out of a country and you wind up in Long Beach.
Yeah, I lived there for a year. I love that place. So Jenny's like, this is poor, guys. You don't even know what poor is, okay? And they're all like, the kid's like, wow, yay. And she goes, listen to Jenny. Yes, Jenny.
Hey, Jenny, low five. Here comes the belly. Low five.
So Lisa sends Dewey, the husband, because he's a chiropractor. So she sends him to give Jack. Hey, Jack, tell Dewey what's wrong with you. And he's like, I've got like Costco congitis or something. She's like, yeah. And you know what? You need a membership card to even have that. So I'm really proud of him for that. I'm really proud of him. He got his own Costco congitis. Congrats, Jack. Go get your butt cracked.
Big year for chiropractors on Bravo between Mia and Dewey. So, so Dewey takes Jack downstairs to get adjusted / destroyed. And Lisa, doctor's in the house. I love that. So then Jenny talks about how she met Dewey through her sister-in-law, who there was some story about a photography studio. And it's like, you got to meet this guy and yada, yada, yada. So
she's so funny. She's like, this is such a romantic story. She goes, when I first met my husband, I was like, damn, you have a really nice body from the neck down, from the neck up. Okay. And I didn't tell him, like, you already got me, man. And then we've been together ever since. I'm sure he loves when you tell that story over and over again.
And in the middle of this entire story, we keep cutting to Jack getting his adjustment, going,
whoa, fresh,
Jack, use the brand. And then Lisa goes, do you remember Bambang Bellies? I was like, I love her. We both had the best bags.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, I have to say, like, we got Jack a new car. I
love that she's just told her whole Vietnam story. And so Lisa goes, yeah, well, we got Jack a new car. We got him a Defender. I was like, oh my God, this is so much like hiding under, you know, a boat so you don't get attacked by Thai pirates. This is crazy how similar.
Just how like similar that. This is. Yeah. Just so, like that.
She's like, we got him a Defender, but we said you can have that, but you have to work. You know, because money is a byproduct of work. And we don't really care about money. We just want to do what's right with money, which is buy a Defender. You know, it's like all a circle of money. It's great. Is that okay to say?
Let's bump Elias. So,
let's bump Elias.
And now we're at Jen's house. And Jen's mom enters along with Nani, Jen's aunt. The famous aunt has arrived, and we know it's Jen's famous aunt because Jen is like, let's see the leg. And they like lift up the aunt's dress to show off like the prosthetic leg. It's almost like they just put a big yellow arrow that said, hospital smell person, right?
Yeah, she did too. She's like, so you all are wondering where the hospital smell was coming from? My aunt Nanny, like, she looks good. She looks good. She does not smell like hospital. She smells expensive, not expensive, expensive Louis Vuitton perfume.
So then Sharif comes in and he's, yeah, work those angles, Ronnie. Sharif comes in.
like my Jen Shaw angles.
You got
angles.
Like into it. You're like, yeah, method.
Yeah.
So Sharif comes in and Sharif is in full, like, scared of Jen Shaw mode. So he's like, hi, everyone, who wants a hug? You know, he has that, like, baby voice he puts on around her. He's like, ooh, doop-a-doo, want someone want a hug? Boop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-boop-a-boop.
Yeah, because we don't know how much this guy knows, right? We don't know how much he knows about the crime. Now, to all the people on Twitter who are already comparing to Erica Jane, they're like, well, how come Jen Shah doesn't get in any trouble? And you guys are, all you talk about is Erica Jane. A, because the show is just coming back, so now we get to start talking about Jen Shah, okay? Yeah. And what was the other one? Oh, how come nobody's on Coach Shah and accusing him of stuff like they're accusing Erica Jane in the Tom Girardi situation? Sounds pretty sexist. No, it's not that it's sexism. It's that she's being accused of hiding money for the criminal. I don't think anyone is accusing Coach Shah of, like, helping her and hiding money or stuff, which we don't really
it's
know.
It's actually sexist to assume that he is, in fact, you know? A lady can commit a crime all by herself. But I think also the difference is that, like, Coach, there's not, like, a six-year history of Coach Shah talking about, like,
how rich, like, he is, yeah.
How rich he is and how what a great marriage he's been in. Like, I think it's pretty obvious that he doesn't actively like her and he's trying to stay as far away from her as possible.
Or flaunting the money. He wasn't named in lawsuits also, you know, accusing him of stuff. So that's why. But, of course, the question is still there. Did he know? And did he, you know, did he have anything to do with it? You have to think, like, he must be like, babe, where's all your money coming from? Like, you're buying a lot of shit. So where's that all coming from?
It's, I mean, we're going to see. I'm not going to rule it out. But for right now, that's, I think, the reason why people are not coming down as hard. One of the reasons. I mean, I actually think that probably there is something to be said for, you know, misogynistic bias that's deeply rooted in our culture. But that's for another podcast. So,
well, that's obvious. Well, that's obvious.
Like,
right?
I mean, like,
that's
society
there.
Always comes down harder on women, right? So anyway, Jen's son is turning 27, and basically there's, like, tension between Jen and Sharif because she's like, is everyone ready to eat? And he's like, wait, I want to do a prayer first. She goes, I know, I'm just seeing if people want to eat. And it's like, their marriage is on the rocks.
Yeah. And she's like, you know what? Our relationship problem, like, affected our family. Like, we're the backbone. And, it, you know, with people dying, like, Sharif has taken over the father role. And so, like, if we have a problem, everyone's like, oh, my God. Like, what are we going to do? And it's true because everyone's like, oh, God, please, Sharif, don't leave us. Please don't leave us, Sharif.
You're our last wall of protection from Jen Shah. She's taking all our money. That's why we're here for dinner.
Yeah.
So, but then the mom gives, like, this really lovely, sweet speech where she's crying and just saying, you know, like, you know, wish dad could be here and stuff like that. And, you know, and Jen says, in my family, you're going to be okay because family takes care of family and you always have a home and somewhere to go. Okay. Which is funny because Jen does have somewhere to go.
She's gonna have three squares a day, that's for damn sure. Okay,
that's for sure.
Jail, it's like family. So the mom talks about how she's gonna do a party for her retirement, and Jen's like, mom, are we gonna do strippers? And she's like, well, it just depends on how old they are. And Sharif goes, my mom would be like, get me some tenders.
I would be like Sharif's mom. I think also, I feel like when Jen's mom was like, well, it depends how old they are. I just imagine Jen, like, checking a spreadsheet, being like, well, they don't appear to be on my spreadsheet, so I think they're going to be pretty young.
So then we see the igloo restaurant thing that everybody was trying to do in COVID. It looks so crazy to me.
It's like a geodesic dome, igloo dome thing. The Boneyard Saloon. So basically, what happened was a producer said, here's my idea. Let's find a geodesic dome and put Mary inside it and see what happens. Because Mary's just sitting inside this structure and she's like, ah. She, like, can't deal with the chair. She's like, this is uncomfortable. She's just sort of swaying around. Like, okay, she's struggling. Send the other girls in. Send them in.
I know. She's like, these chairs are little. I guess I'm an igloo. They're hurting my butt. I'm a pantomime. No, Mary, that's actual glass on the igloo. Please do not touch. Please do not touch the glass.
They turn around, and then all of a sudden, the igloo is just filled with all sorts of clothing. Like, how did this happen? She's like, I don't know. I was bored.
So then, Meredith, Whitney, and Heather arrive, and Whitney's like, they have Wagyu beef sliders.
And Heather basically takes over the ordering. She's like, I need to take over ordering. Otherwise, I'm going to be stuck splitting half a salad with Mary or something. So she's like, two Reubens, cheeseburger, steak topping, and whatever cheese you have. Just put it in a pile and give it to us.
And a bottomless Prosecco. Just if it looks like it's about to be empty, just refill it.
Yeah.
Oh, so then Whitney's like,
how are you, Meredith? I am sensing something wrong with you. Would you like to discuss it?
And Meredith tells him that her father passed away. And so we talk about that. It was really sad. He had dementia. Yeah. And so emotionally, she feels like she lost him a long time ago, but now he's physically gone. And so
Heather's like, Heather turns to Whitney and is like, hey, sweetie, maybe take off that hooray sign from the table you just taped onto it, okay? Put that away. So it is super sad. And then actually it's also sad because Heather and Mary's father has just recently passed away. And then you also have Jen, whose father passed away. So there's actually a lot of sadness that bonds all these ladies. So the food comes and Mary makes a blessing on the food. And then Meredith shares that she did tell Lisa about her dad's passing, and Heather says that she hasn't actually talked to Lisa since the reunion, and they haven't even had an exchange, and she also hasn't talked to Jen at all.
Yeah, and then Heather talks about she wants to apologize to Lisa, and she's like, but like Jen and I left like we were best friends, and then she's also over social media calling me racist again. I love that. That's just something that always happens casually in their relationship. Like,
she's calling me racist again.
Oh, that Jen all over social media calling me racist. And then we see a Instagram story that Jen regrammed or whatever that she shared.
Yes.
And it says, Heather is lucky I couldn't travel to Salt Lake City for the reunion. I've seen firsthand how evil, racist, and a liar she is.
Well, whoever said this, I feel like they are, first of all, the reunion, I think, was in New York. So this person would have been sorely disappointed if they had traveled to Salt Lake City for the reunion. So I already question their grasp of facts. So Heather says, she doesn't say to my face, Heather, I think you're racist. She says, you're the coolest girl I've ever known. And then she fills me up with so much friendship juice that I'm drunk on it. And Mary's like, whoop. I don't think I want any of Jen's friendship juice. That stuff gets me riled up because that's weird.
Yeah, friendship juice. That's like weird. Like, yeah, never mind. Like, so you're going to be friends with someone who treats you like crap? That's not juice. That's a choice.
That's like, that's a choice. Sort of like not drinking water when you have diabetes. It's a choice.
So then Mary's like, well, last time I was racist. So remember, I got it first. So people show you who they are. Believe them. Okay? Believe them.
So Meredith's like, well, there's been so much damage. And the real problem for me, the crux to me, is she's made all these homophobic references and some in regards to Brooks, who has never spoken one way or another of what his sexual preference is to Jen. Okay? And never mind that I'm saying sexual preference and not orientation. Okay? Because Brooks is the straightest man that I know. Okay?
He's as straight as a braided holla. I'm telling you that right now.
So Meredith's like, Jen has been liking and reposting negative homophobic comments about Brooks. I'm disengaging right now. So we do see an IG comment that says, frankly, I don't understand the praise and hype because I see nothing more than a privileged twink.
Was that from at Ronnie Karam? Because
I don't think twink is homophobic. I think it's categorical.
Twink isn't homophobic. That's descriptive. Ridiculous.
It's descriptive.
That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. I know people are filled with outrage over this, but that is not homophobic. That one's not. Well, what were the other things that were before I go off?
I forget. I've definitely seen ones, but like, but like that, I don't think twink, that one, I don't feel like is very homophobic. And then Meredith.
No, I thought that was like the big one that they're pinning everything on.
Oh, are they?
I don't think that that's, I think
maybe I'm
so.
Wrong. I could be conflating.
They didn't show any other ones that were homophobic. I mean,
that's
true. I think I write some more later. Well, actually,
people don't rely on me for facts. People should treat me like the way Mary treats humans. Don't trust me.
Okay.
Don't
trust me. So here's the ones they put up on screen. Frankly, I don't understand the praise and hype because I see nothing more than a privileged twink. Okay, that's, to me, that's not homophobic.
He's literally privileged, and he's literally
She drunk. Replied 100% to everything you said, and then someone called him white privileged, which, you know, isn't very nice, but he is. And
he's white and he's privileged.
Yeah, sorry. Something says his something made me hate him. That's not very nice. Now, here's the thing. It's, I don't find it to be homophobic, but it is still wrong. What the fuck are you doing coming after someone's kid on Instagram? Jen is still ass backwards wrong.
Well, Jen should not have liked that. That's the thing. If she's going to say that she wants to have a relationship with Meredith, you know, we don't personally find that comment homophobic, but Jen is the one who actually has a relationship with Brooks and Meredith, and she should not be saying 100%. So then Meredith says, yeah, specifically there was one where he called Brooks a twink, and the music goes boom. It's like devastating twink comment. Boom!
Yeah. And then she made a comment about Brooks maybe never seeing a vagina before, and they show clips of Jen on Watch What Happens Live going, well, Brooks has never probably seen a vagina or a vagine, but my vagine is like platinum on ice, baby. Which, again, maybe, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think it's tacky more than homophobic. Coming after your son. Yeah, I think she's tacky enough for shitty enough for coming after your son without making it like a big homophobic outrage, because there is a lot of homophobic shit that needs to be addressed in life. Yeah. I just don't need to like have a protest over this.
Well, I'm gonna walk back my words, because there is homophobia in there, in that there's like an element of shame that he's never seen a vagina. So that is.
But he's also young. But he's also very young. Like he's just started college, so it could be like he's young and he hasn't seen a vagina. Like
yeah. Either way, it was tacky. Regardless, it was tacky as hell for Jen to say that on Watch What Happens Live. Let's not get it twisted that we're defending.
My point is that Jen's a shithead for going against your kid and fighting with your kid and saying all this shit about your kid. I just don't like bringing in the like outrage of the home. It's like it's already big enough without you bringing that in. I just don't like when people use stuff like that to make it more exploit. It's like exploiting it, in other words. Does that make sense?
Well, Meredith says, Brooks has never spoken to Jen about his sexuality. I mean, he's barely even talked to me about it. I mean, he's figuring things out. Okay, leave him out of it. He's figuring out his sexuality. I was like, all right, well. So Meredith's like, I want an apology, and I want it to my family. Okay. My family.
And Heather's like, the only one that, like, Jen isn't, like, coming after is Lisa. Why is that? Why is that, you guys? And she says that the interesting things is that they weren't really even friends until post-Vegas. So something happened in Vegas that I guess she's hinting at. It seems like Heather's not very lightly hinting about this business stuff that Lisa is supposedly involved with Jen in business. So Whitney's like, here's what's bothering me. How would Lisa feel if Jen went after Jack and Henry and then you became her biggest supporter? Which I think is a good point.
Yep. Do I understand it? No. Does it irritate me? Of course. Do I think Lisa shouldn't be friends with Jen? Honestly, Jen probably needs a friend right now, and it's not gonna be me. It's not gonna be me.
So then we go with Happy Girl Power Choir music. It's like, so then we go over to Meredith's house, where Meredith is sadly making dinner for Shabbat with Brooks and Seth, and she's, you know, rightfully sad, and he's making his challah. He's like, Dan, how do you bring a challah?
Yeah, I need a clean surface. I've never felt so annoyed at watching someone make challah before. I need a clean surface, guys. And Meredith has these crazy sleeves because she's always trying to be very avant-garde. Her sleeves look like someone took that paper that you put on a table at a restaurant over the tablecloth and just crumpled them up and put them on her arms.
Yeah, I thought it looked like a cloth tablecloth that she was just like, you know what? I'm going to clean these fucking tables right now. I'm going to walk out of here. I'm always cleaning everything. Because the rest of her outfit was just a catering black outfit, right? It's a catering uniform. And then these big crazy sleeves.
Did Valters go out of business and was there like an estate sale or something? Like she's like, I'm just going to take a tablecloth from Valters and just do what I can with it. What's the name of that restaurant they always go to, actually? I'll look it up. For like Campanella's or something.
She's like, well, here's what Shabbat means. So she explains Shabbat. And then she's not very religious, but she just thought it would be good. It would be special to do this kind of for her dad with, you know, her best friend. And Brooks is like, I hope after this dinner that the Barlows become Jewish again.
Shabbats do not have a great track record on Bravo, we're finding out. So, so Meredith still thinks Lisa's one of her closest friends, despite the gin situation. So Lisa shows up and Seth, you know, is like, oh, the Barlows are here. The Barlows are here. So, she's like, oh my God, someone delivered flowers already, but we have a flower too. So here's other flower and then here's Vita flower. Enjoy. Love that.
We're Jewish by heritage, Mormon by choice. But that doesn't mean I don't love all religions. Like when it comes to religion, I say, I love that, whatever that is. Jesus loves us. God is the judge of us. Church is an open door. I love Jesus, God, open doors. And that,
and Diet Coke, I love that. Is the altar that I pray at. So Meredith is talking about how she lost it when she saw Seth a few days ago, when he came home and they were crying, we see them crying and everything. And so, and Lisa's hugging, Brooks, and then Chloe is there, the daughter, and Chloe's boyfriend, James, is there too. And Brooks is being nicer. His season two thing is that he's going to be nice now. So he's like, hi, Henry. How are you?
Yeah. He's like, God,
it's the first time he's asked about anything about anyone.
So then they, you know, do some family bonding and stuff. And then Lisa and Meredith go sit down together. And Meredith says, I had an interesting lunch the other day.
Oh, yeah. It looks like you brought home the tablecloths on your arm. I love those. Those are one of those womb sleeves. Love those. Great job.
Well, we talked about you for a little bit, and it was a dizzying amount of conversation, mainly because we were in a crazy dome. And Heather flat out was like, I owe Lisa an apology. Unprompted by me, I was very disengaged at the moment, and I did not say anything to suggest that.
You know what? I'm just exhausted. I don't want to be accused of things that I didn't do, or like character assassination.
Teddy, no, don't even think about it. Teddy, he thinks he's a cat. Sorry, keep going.
We need to get a box for Teddy to pee in. He thinks he's a cat.
He thinks he's a cat. Oh, look, he's eating the challah. He thinks he's a cat Jew. Oh, God, poor Teddy.
He thinks he's Dr. Katz. Right now.
He thinks he's Jeffrey Katzenberg right now.
Look at him filming a film out there.
Look, he's making a live action version of Cats, which is actually much better. Who would have thought Cats directed by a dog at Shabbat would
be a much better version? Get off that tire right now, all right? Get off the tire. He's on a rising. He thinks he's in Cat.
He thinks he's an actual cat in Cats directing a movie about cats.
I love Rebel Wilson. So, you know what? Where can we go with John? You know, because you need to give her a chance. I feel like you need to give her a chance to sort of make...
Am I to explain why I'm upset about her behavior? Then she doesn't understand the first thing about friendship. Like,
oh, hit me in the head. You're jerking your head too much.
Sorry, my head thinks it's a cat. So, she needs to apologize to my family, starting with the dog cat. And Lisa, well, would you be open to that? Well, I will not debate with her. If she puts a finger in my face again and raises her voice at me again, she will never, ever see me again. It's not complicated. Great movie. One of my favorites.
And so, meanwhile, the guys are like, wow, look at the views on this balcony. He's like, yeah. You know, like right now, it's dark, so you can't see.
but when it's light, you can see it. The other one's like, yeah.
Love that. Hold on one second, Meredith. Love that.
Love that. Love your basic guy conversation.
It just echoes through the canyon. Love that. Love that.
Love that. Love that. Love that. Love that.
So Lisa's like, you know, I know that my choosing to be friends with Jen hurt you, and I understand that, but I've always kept our relationship separate. And so if she makes an apology for you and Brooks, would you move forward? Because I really want you to. And she's like, thank you. It's my family.
Like, Meredith is ready to just have a fight with Lisa.
Well, the first step is allowing her to really apologize and for you to really hear that she's sorry. And when she gets hurt, she puts up all these walls, and then sometimes she does things that are damaging. She started to explain at marriage luncheon about how she has to fight a little bit harder and how she feels. And like, we need to listen to her. Okay. I love that. I love that about what we have to do.
Yeah. She's like, you know, she's going through a lot of really bad things. She's like, well, I respect someone's feelings, but you can't use it as an excuse to mistreat other people. And so they're going on and on. Now Meredith is yelling, basically, yeah. And her eyes are like bloodshot, and she's got her crazy napkin arms. And Lisa, you can tell that Lisa has been friends with her for so long, because she doesn't even face her. She's just like,
yeah, but she's been mistreated too, okay? You know, and listen, do you want me to have the same conversation with you about Heather? About weather, bad weather?
I was like, that is not quite the same thing, all right?
Yeah, because at this point, Meredith has also said that she has an unwarranted vendetta against the family. And when we went to commercial one, boom! So she's like, no, it is. It's the same. To me, that's the same. I'm not saying that you're not more deeply wounded than I am, and that I'm wounded less. It's hurtful regardless, okay? And Meredith just gives her like a face. Like, do you want me to disengage? Because I'm going to do that one. I'm going to engage with a challah soon, okay? Is that what you want? Is that what you want?
Jen has terrorized and traumatized my family for 2 years now. And so then, you know, we see this, why Heather was supposedly horrible to Lisa, which is also like the silliest housewife of all, housewife fight of all time.
Hey, Meredith, can I touch your face? Can I touch? Okay, now that I've touched you, I feel you. And I understand you, okay? Because I'm touching you right now.
Well, I enjoy you. Like I enjoy Diet Coke, okay?
And Meredith is like, yeah, but if someone mistreated Jack or Harry the way she's treated Brooks Marks, so I like that she used both names there. She's like, Brooks Marks
the designer.
Would you move on with them?
She's like, you know what, Meredith? Brooks is like, I saw her vagina. And maybe she was humiliated by that and like went into defense mode.
I am a mother to a son, to a daughter, to a dog that thinks it's a cat. I am a mother. And if I said anything about her child, when I even said, does this mean I should speak negatively about her child? I asked that question, which I would never do. And she went ballistic.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, but I love you. Well, she needs to learn how to treat people the way she wants to be treated.
And she's like, listen, Meredith, okay, I love you. You're good with me. Stop yelling. Let's figure out how we can baby step this. Okay, let's baby step it.
And she's like, God, she's really pissed because I've never seen her like this in 10 whole years, right? And so Meredith is like, listen, I've talked to Lisa 20 times about what a shithead Jen has been to my family and to Brooks, and she's just pretending to not see it. So I tell her I'll send her screenshots, and she says she doesn't want them. So what the hell?
Yeah. So they just sort of drop it for the moment, and then they go and they have, they sort of bless the challah. And so they're like, well, Chloe, will you do the prayers? And Chloe's like, okay. And then she's like, Baruch. And everyone goes, Baruch. Adonai. Eloheinu. Melech. Hello. And they do the whole prayer, and they're all kind of like looking at each other and laughing. And then at the end, she's like, oh, you guys were like banking off me, and I saw you. Ew.
And that's basically it. Then we get the Kumbaya, my Lord. The preview of the year, which, if you still want to see the recap of that preview, I believe that's on the bonus episodes of Patreon. Just go back a few weeks and find that. That's there. But for now, that leads us to the end of this one. This was a great first episode. How
so
fun.
I mean,
another
good.
Hour and a half that. Recap. Jeez.
Two back-to-back episodes. We did our Thursday one and this one. Well, these are big shows. So everyone, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll be back with our next episode, which is going to be Real Housewives of Potomac. And do not forget, be sure to download the Green Room app from Spotify and listen to our live show. Take a seat. So we'll see you there, everyone, and talk to you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie. Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
My Favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No One Makes Us Feel Well Like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's Get Racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.